Let's look together in Romans chapter 2. And last week, we looked at the kind of judgment in general. We kind of looked at a little bit of a topical message because I really didn't go through the text. We spent time thinking about the judgment of believers at the Bema Seat judgment, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And then we spent time thinking about the Great White Throne judgment, the judgment of all lost people of all the ages, of all times, will stand before God in a horrible judgment. And the Lord Jesus will be the judge in both of those occasions. But Christian, your judgment is totally different than that of lost people. And you'll be judged according to your service, your works for the Lord once you've been saved. But your sins have already been judged. Your sins have been judged at the cross. And when Jesus died, He said, "It is finished." And He literally meant paid in full. It's done. That's what it means to be in Christ. To be a Christian means you have all your sins forgiven. That's pretty awesome. That's pretty cool. Well, so then when we think, though, about this thing of justice, you know, justice is a kind of a buzzword today. People want justice. I'm not sure they really want justice. I mean, the idea is appealing. It sounds nice. It sounds good. But I don't think we fully grasp what that word means and what it brings. And so when we think about what justice is, well, you know, I've kind of defined justice just for my own purposes here to think about this. I said that justice is the process of using laws to fairly and evenly dispense proper punishment or reward for every behavior. And so, who is qualified to give out this justice? Well, I think we would say that only God. You know, when you go into a human court, you can expect that there may be some partiality. You know, there may be some unfairness in a human court. It happens. You know, the prosecuting attorney in Monroe, Louisiana, was recently confronted with a case of two football players who were caught with drugs and guns. One was a stolen gun, felony charge. And he just said, "Yeah, insufficient evidence." Well, folks, one day we will stand before God and we will answer. You will answer. Each one of us will answer before God for our life. And on that day, Mama won't be there to help you. You won't have a note from your doctor. You won't be able to have your lawyer. No one will stand with you. You will stand before God alone and you will answer. But He has offered you the option, and it's available to you today, that you don't have to stand before God alone to answer for your sin, because Christ has already gone to the cross and He's already paid the price for your sin. He's already done everything that has to be done so that you could be saved and be forgiven of all your sins. But that's up to you. You have to choose to receive Him. You have to open up your heart and your life to Him. And trust in Him. Believe in Him. That's where faith comes. And so if you do that, you turn from your sins, you turn to Christ, you trust Him for your salvation, and He saves you, wipes the slate clean. It's a little bit hard for us to even grasp that you can have a fresh start. You can begin again, but you can. It's almost too good to be true. People get all caught up because, well, they think, well, that sounds too good. I ought to have to do something. You know what? There just isn't anything you can do that will add to what God has already done. And there's no need for it. You just have to trust. You believe. That's your work. That's what you do, is you just believe and trust in Christ. So if you've never done that, I want to invite you and encourage you today to do that, because it's pressing in upon us. Life is short. You know, we don't know, any of us, we don't know what a day is going to bring. We don't know what's going to happen today, tomorrow. We don't, any of us know that, but we do know that it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And so, you know, I want us to think rightly about this. Not, you know, it's a serious subject and kind of a somber subject, but as a Christian, it doesn't have to make us afraid or, you know, cause us, you know, turmoil or stress or something, because Christ has done everything for you. And so when you stand before God, if you're a Christian, you will have an advocate. And your advocate is Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He has paid your price. He has taken your place and taken your punishment. And so when you stand before God, He will represent you. And you will be completely exonerated from anything, any wrongdoing. And when you do stand before the Lord, Christian, God will just look at your service to Him. That's what He's going to be looking at on that day. 1 Corinthians 3 tells us. He'll be examining your life and finding the works that you've done. Are they things that have been done for Christ? Are they things that you've done for yourself? Well, those self things, that's wood, hay, and stubble. But all the things you do for Jesus, that's gold and silver and precious stones. And so you want to do you want to serve the Lord, but you also want to serve Him with the right heart and the right attitude, the right motivation. You know, we got some great servants of God this week in Bible school. If you're working in Bible school this week, just stand to your feet. Just stand up. Working in Bible school, stand up. I mean, I didn't mean to wake anybody up, if you know. Right? But if you're working in Bible school, look around you now. Look around. You stand and look around. Okay? And thank the Lord. You may be seated. Thank the Lord for these workers. But you know what? When they stand before the Lord, Jesus said that when you give a cup of cold water in My name, your reward will not be lost. Doesn't say anything about Kool-Aid syrup stuff, Miss Cheryl. But you know, do what you do for Jesus. Do what you do for Christ. Do what you do for eternity. And when you stand before Him, nothing will be lost, and you will be blessed. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Well, let's look together in the passage, and we're going to read a pretty good section. So, you know, if you're able to stand with me, then that's great. If you're not, that's fine. But we want to honor the Lord and His Word this morning. So if you're able to stand, please stand to your feet. We're going to read in chapter 2 of Romans, beginning in verse 5. He says, "But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law, written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest His will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou, therefore, which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written, for circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteous of the law, keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision dost transgress the law? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. We pray that you will be glorified and honored and lifted up, and that every person will be drawn to the Lord Jesus today. Lord, touch us now and bring salvation to those who are lost. Lord, draw those whose hearts are just burdened. God, draw them to yourself and carry their load. And Lord, if there are those whose hearts are just cold, indifferent, God, warm them. Draw them to yourself, we pray. We thank you for this. In Jesus' precious, holy name, amen. You may be seated. Well, all right, so let's look at a couple of things here, a couple of thoughts. One of the things that Paul is developing in these first three chapters of Romans is the fact that we're all sinners. And he's showing that it's true for Jews first, but also to Gentiles. And so he goes to great lengths to express that really there's no difference. We're all the same. We're all the same. And so today, we might be tempted to place ourselves in the place that the Jews of Paul's day did. Because they thought, well, man, I'm one of God's chosen. I'm a part of the people of God. I have the Word of God. I have the law. I have knowledge. And I have understanding. And so I have some benefit. I have some things that are really good. Well, that was true. But Paul's concern was that if we're only worried about an outward righteousness, if we're only concerned about looking good, if we're only worried about conforming outwardly to some expectation, and we look like we're a Christian and we act like we're a Christian most of the time, then is that enough? Well, I think Paul would say, no, that's not enough. Just as to the Jews in his day, no. There's not some outward thing that you do that defines who you are. You know, what you do will never make who you are. It does not do that. But who you are will define what you do. And so what we want to do is we want to make sure that our righteousness is Christ's righteousness. And it's not some contrived thing that we've built. You know, we have this sea cave behind me here. I mean, I realize you're all just kind of in awe this morning, and marveling at that. It's pretty amazing. Well, actually, it's pretty simple. And don't look too closely. I had a hand in putting that together, and You know, it's pretty lacking. It's not even a faint representation of the real thing. But we sometimes in the Christian life, we choose to believe that our facade that we erect and we put in front of people, this representation of Christ, that that's enough. And folks, I'm going to tell you, for the purposes of Vacation Bible School, we can live with this set. But in our walk with Jesus Christ from day to day, you and I cannot live with some kind of a facade that we put up to pretend like we're something we're not. We can't do that. We just cannot have that. That's not going to benefit us in any way, and it won't benefit anyone else. Well, so what we see here in this passage is that God is going to judge, and He's going to judge every person on the basis of what they've done. He's going to judge every person on the basis of the light that they have received. For people who have the law, they're going to be judged by the law. But people who don't have the law, they will not be judged by something that they don't have. You know, today, here in America, do we have the gospel? Pretty much. You know, we've got, you know, at least here in the Bible Belt, we've got churches. We've got five churches right here in Branch. And so hopefully we've got the gospel. That doesn't necessarily always mean you have the gospel, but hopefully we've got the gospel being proclaimed here in Branch. And boy, then we've got, you know, other things. We've got television and radio. We've got preaching. And again, is it the gospel? Well, you know, you got to be careful about that. Some of it's not. And it may be slick and it may be, you know, well executed. It might not be the gospel. You better be careful what you're taking in. But we've got all these opportunities to hear the gospel. And folks, when Christ judges America, I believe that our judgment will be more severe. Why? Because we've heard the gospel. We've heard the old story told again and again and again and again. And for some, that will be, well, I've heard the story. I've heard the God. I know about Jesus. But they've never been impacted by the power of God. They've never been changed from the inside out. Never been saved. And folks, true salvation is not some outward thing that we do. It's not coming to church. Coming to church doesn't make you a Christian. Being from a Christian family doesn't make you a Christian. Mom and dad are Christians, that's good. That doesn't make you a Christian. Grandma's saved, that's good. Doesn't make you a Christian. That's something that we each one come to on our own. And we stand before God and the Spirit of God touches us and He shows us that we need Him. Well, Paul says that we're going to be judged according to our works. And he says to us here in verse 6, every man, he will render to every man according to his deeds. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10, it says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. I mean, God's going to, He's going to judge you. He's going to judge you differently than He's going to judge your neighbor or the guy in the remotest part of, you know, South America or Africa or India somewhere who's never even heard the name of Jesus. He's going to judge us differently. And to whom much is given, much is required. Well, the Bible plainly tells us, John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, says, marvel not at this. The hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. There's a day coming when God will judge all. Now notice in our text, because We didn't really get into this last time. But notice verse 7. It says, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Now, let's make it clear here. Paul is not saying that we gain eternal life by doing good things. Okay? But what Paul is saying is that the good things that come out of your life because you've been saved, that's the evidence. And upon that basis, God can look at you and know that you're saved. That's the basis of judgment, not the basis of salvation. So, when we see this, he says, to those who are contentious, verse 8, and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, they will receive indignation and wrath. And so, you know, what you see is the fruit of your life, that's going to be the basis of your judgment. That's going to be how God is going to look at your life, and He's going to know what kind of person you are. Verse 10, but glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. There is no respect of persons. So, you know, God is going to judge. And then verse 12, we kind of noted this. As many of us as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. As many have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. So, you know, what happens to that guy out there who's never heard the gospel? What happens to him? Is he going to somehow have some special opportunity? No, he's going to be judged by his deeds. He's going to be judged according to his life. Because here's the ultimate problem. The ultimate problem is that we're all searching, is not that we're all searching for God and we just can't find Him. The ultimate problem is that we're lost, we're sinners, and we sin. We do things wrong. And that person out there will not be judged in the same way that I would, having heard the gospel. I remember as a young person, I would hear the gospel. Oh, man, it's kind of scary. I need to get saved. The only problem with that, I didn't want to humble myself. I didn't want to give up my pride. I wanted to hold on to this pretense. I wanted to hold on to this facade. I wanted to keep this idea at least put out there that I'm okay. I'm a Christian. And it was only when God just tore down the facade and said, you're not a Christian. You're lost as a ball in high weeds. You need to get saved. And I said, you're right, Lord. I need to get saved. And at that point, I was ready to humble myself. And, you know, God's going to look at those who've heard the gospel very differently from those who have not. You say, well, they're still lost. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. But, folks, that's, you know, that's one of those things that, man, when you hear it and you say no, you'll answer for that. You've obeyed not the truth, the Bible says. You've disobeyed the truth, and you've how does he say it here? He says you have obeyed unrighteousness, and to you is coming indignation and wrath. And there's this horrible thought there of judgment. Well, he talks a little bit about the Gentiles who don't have the law. He said, you know, in a way, they're a law to themselves. They don't have the law, but they already know. You know, you'll see some people out here who don't have the gospel, but they already have this basic understanding of morality. They have a basic idea of what's right and what's wrong. And there's a lot of good people out there. Good moral people. They live, you know, pretty good lives. And they make good neighbors, and they make good friends, and you know, they're good people because they know what's right and what's wrong. They have a conscience that informs what they do. And they do something wrong, they know it. They feel it. Well, Paul says those people are a law unto themselves. They may not have the law, or they may not have the gospel, but they are, you know, in a sense, they have a knowledge that God has put within them. You know, we started this thing in Romans 1 with the fact that God has spoken to all people everywhere through creation. And He does. And He's given us a sense that, you know, it's not right to steal. It's not right to... You know, I was reading this week, they had an article about monogamy. And, you know, I mean, honestly, this article was, is it time for polyamorous marriages? I mean, the specific thing was they had six people. You know, is it okay for six people to be married to each other? One thing. And they were, you know, going to nature. You know, animals are not monogamous. They have, you know, and all this. And I'm like, yeah, that's a good basis for building your life on how an animal lives. Yeah, that's good. That makes sense. Well, folks, we have some basic understanding of what's right and what's wrong. And people who don't have Christ know it's wrong to cheat on their husband, their wife. I saw a letter to Dear Abby this past week. A woman was cheating on her husband, and I don't know what I'm going to do. I just can't get out of this relationship. And she knows it's wrong, and she's still doing it. And with all due respect, Dear Abby needs to write back and say, you just need to get on your face before God and repent of your sin and turn to Christ and be saved. Well, anyway. So, here's what we see then. Verse 16 tells us, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. You know, there's a day coming when your secrets are going to be revealed. We all have secrets. We all have things that we really don't want published. We don't really want to become general knowledge. But Jesus spoke of a time when things that are spoken in private and in secret will be shouted from the rooftops. One day you will be revealed. That's a little bit of an intimidating thought. You know, that's a little bit scary. Except that because we are in Christ, and I've been forgiven of some things that I would absolutely be ashamed for you to know about. I've been forgiven. God has saved me. He has changed me. And many of you have a similar testimony. He has saved you. He has changed you. You're different than you once were. Thank God. And there's others of us who need that. You need to be saved. You need to be forgiven. Because otherwise you're facing the moment when your secrets are going to be revealed, when everything will be laid bare. Well, Paul goes on. I just want to just very briefly cover a thought here and then we're done. He talks about the fact that as a Jew, these people were very, very focused on the law and on their Jewishness, and that they had the truth, they had the word. And he said, you know, there is such a thing as walking your talk. You know, there's such a thing as doing what you're preaching. I had a guy ask me about preachers the other day and asked if I knew any good, you know, preachers. I think he was looking for someone to perform a wedding ceremony for a family member. And I said, you know, I don't know any good preachers. Just not any good, you know, and he kind of, you know, I could tell he was taken back a little bit at first, and so I was kind of joking, sort of. But, you know, I mean, we sometimes may think, oh, I'm a Christian. I have the answer. I know Christ. And what ends up happening, we look down at somebody else who doesn't have that answer. We look down at somebody who's caught in some sin. They're caught in a trap of sin. And we end up condemning them, judging them, putting ourselves in God's place, becoming God in our own eyes, and condemning them because of their actions or their whatever's going on. And Paul says, you know, if we say that we have the reality of Christ, but we're not living that, it's empty and it's foolish. And we've lost the most important thing. I want to encourage you this morning. Don't claim the name of Christ. you're not walking in Christ, you're not living that life, don't claim something for yourself that simply isn't there. And you know, as we look at this, you know, he asked the question, you know, if you teach another, are you teaching yourself? If you're saying don't steal, are you stealing? If you're saying don't commit adultery, are you committing? You know, he goes through all this stuff. And I'm reminded of the response of a couple of preachers here recently from the Orlando shooting. And they came out with these horrible, hateful statements about they were glad these people got killed. They were glad all this happened. And it's horrible. That's awful. That is reprehensible. That should never, never be. But you know what I've observed? Is back to this preacher thing. Sometimes preachers preach hardest and harp against some of the very pet sins that they have going on in their own heart. And I guess my number one example there would be Jimmy Swagger. He preached hard against the sins of the flesh. Hard. Even while he was doing it. And then when he got caught, he stood up there and wept big tears and said, I've sinned. Well, he had. Folks, we need to be authentic. We need to be real. If there's stuff going on in your life that should not be, you need to understand. One day the secrets of your life will be laid bare. Nothing will be hidden on that day. And he says here in verse 24, he's speaking to the Jews, but I think we can say the same thing today. He says, for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you or through you. I mean, we have people who claim the name of Christ today, claim the name of Christ, and yet they are bringing dishonor upon the church and upon the ministry and upon the gospel. And I don't know about you, I don't ever want my life to be that. I don't ever want my life to bring dishonor. Now, I mean, I'm not perfect. I fail every day. You don't have to ask my wife about that. But I do. And I mess up and I miss the mark. But folks, Paul would say to us, the Word of God is of no benefit if we're not doing it, if we're not obeying it. He's with James right there. You've got to be a doer of the Word. You've got to be doing this. And it gives the example there at the end of the chapter on circumcision. Because the Jews were big on circumcision. That was the hallmark of their religion. That was the outward symbol of their religion, was circumcision. And so that was a big deal. And Paul says, look, you may have that outward thing down, but it not be real in your heart. And he said, he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, but who is one inwardly. And I think we can say the same thing about us as Christians. He is not a Christian who is one outwardly, but who is one inwardly. And when you are a Christian on the inside, it will come out. Okay? Just like the little girl, remember, she was talking to her mama about being saved, and she'd heard people talk. You know, sometimes we put salvation into some awkward terms, you know, and this little girl heard about asking Jesus to come into her heart. And she said, Mama, if Jesus comes into my heart, won't He just stick out all over? Well, not in the way she meant, but yes. Yes, He will. When Christ comes into our heart, He makes a difference. He changes us. And that's what we want. I don't want to be some religious hypocrite who's making a big pretense and a big show. I don't have anybody to impress. I don't have anybody to, you know, that means nothing. But what I want more than anything else is I want my Heavenly Father to look at me one day when I stand before Him and to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into my rest. That's it. If I get that, any form of that, if I just get good job, Hobbs, get in here. I'm good. I'm all right. That's perfect. And y'all, you can leave your pretense, your facade, your persona, your image. You can just drop them. You can just leave them on the floor. And as we close this morning, I want to invite you to literally do that. Just to say, oh God, You know who I am. You know what I am. You know the areas of my life that are not what they should be. Because we're all there. I mean, we all have some of those, don't we? I want to invite you this morning to say, oh God, just come and cleanse me. I want to be Yours through and through. I want to be genuine. I want to be real. I'm not perfect and I'll never be perfect, but I want to be authentic. I want to be the real article. I want people to see You in my life. I want to see Jesus sticking out of me every which way. But there may be someone who would say, you know, preacher, I'm not saved. I've never trusted Christ. And if I stood before God today, I would stand alone. If I stood before God today, I would answer for my sins. I want to invite you today to turn from that, to run to Christ, embrace Him, open up your heart and your life and your very being to Him, and receive Him for who He is. Let's bow. Father, in this moment, Lord, we're grateful because You've given us the gospel. You've given us Christ. And Lord, a judgment of which we've read is, it's horrible to think about apart from Jesus. Thank You, Lord, for sending Your Son to take our place. Lord, may every child of God in this room rejoice in You in this moment. God, give them such joy that You have paid their price. You've done all for them. And then, Lord, let us open up those areas of our heart and our mind and our life that we've hidden from You, or we've tried to hide from You. Lord, we've hidden from other people. God, help us to open that up to You today and just to ask for Your grace and Your help and Your forgiveness. Lord, help us to turn from those things and to repent of those things and to turn to You, Jesus. God, give us grace in this moment, Lord. Touch every one of our hearts. Father, is it true that the lost people around us are blaspheming God because of the life that we're living? Oh God, may it not be. Lord, convict our hearts. Draw us to Christ. And Father, I pray for that one who's struggling today with the question of salvation. Oh God, would You open up the understanding of their heart and their mind? Would You help them to just trust You with everything that they are? Would You help them, give them grace? God, just do a mighty work.